Tawakkul comes from the root word wakala. Wakala means...
Today, I'd like to read to you an excerpt from...
Allah is the unique Arabic name.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. His decree, though, we learn...
This is Foresight, a program on how to worship Allah. So, dear listeners, we are talking about again a verse of the Holy Quran, which was recited by the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And of course, it is one that can help us in our ubudiyah, our servitude, our worship, and our obedience to Allah. Now, I don't want to write up front, tell you the verse of the Holy Quran. I want you to stick around for the whole program. But I will tell you, I will at least relate or narrate the verse of the Holy Quran, and then the address, I'm hoping that you will go and you will search and you will find it in order to increase a little bit of the motivation that we have in order to try to gain guidance and really value guidance as well. So anyways, first and foremost, we find here that the Messenger of Allah, who is the most perfectly created human being of the Almighty Allah, is found to be repeating a certain verse of the Holy Quran. Right off the bat, we understand that when it comes to ubudiyah, because of course, as we proclaim in every single one of our prayers, that the greatest abd, the greatest servant, the greatest abid, of the Almighty Allah was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Right? We say, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulu. Abd meaning servant. And so abd, abid, ubudiyya, these are all rooted in the three letters of abada. And so anyways, coming back to our discussion, we find that the greatest abid, the greatest servant of the Almighty Allah, and the one who truly showed humanity for all ages, past, present, and future, the true meaning of ubudiyah, is found to be repeating, first and foremost, and second, repeating verses of the Holy Quran. So this teaches us the importance of repetition in order to be able to inculcate a certain meaning within our heart and our soul. So if we do repeat a certain thing, then don't consider it to be humiliating or unworthy. Matter of fact, the Messenger of Allah here is repeating. A second thing, we kind of want to repeat stuff on our own. I want to make up an incantation, and I just want to keep, reciting that. Here we find that it is the Holy Quran that the Messenger of Allah is repeating. It shows us the value of the Quran, the importance of the Quran, and how we should be close to the Holy Quran. Of course, as previous programs, we mentioned that the Holy Quran is a constant reminder and a guide, and it helps to soften our heart. And once our heart is softened, then we are able to do the various forms of ubudiyah, which we are required to do. In the next segment, of course, we are going to talk about the verse in question, and we are going to really talk about that verse and see where it leads us as far as our ubudiyah is concerned. Jalla jalalullah. Jalla
jalalullah. IRIB English Radio. Our website, www.parstoday.com.
everyone. Today's question asks, is the Quran God's word? The Quran is the holy book that Muslims read and turn to as a means for guidance. They recite it and believe that it is the word of God. But what is there to say that it is authentic? I mean, it's over 1,400 years old. To be fair, the book comes from a time before even paper was available, let alone readily available in Arabic society. So for starters, let's actually look at who wrote the Quran. Although some people believe that it was the Holy Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, who wrote the Quran after receiving revelations from God, others claim that he was illiterate. In truth, Prophet Muhammad was never taught at a formal institution, and he instructed scribes to record the revelations he received from God. One of the wonders of the Quran is that it is a book which has been revealed through an illiterate person, and is still widely regarded as the finest piece of literature in Arabic language. A miracle that shows that the Quran must have come from a higher power is that it contains knowledge far above the knowledge of the time. For instance, there's a clear and detailed step-by-step explanation of how a baby develops in the womb of the mother. This information was only found to be true in the 20th century with the onset of modern medicine and advanced medical technology. Next, the Quran is considered to be trustworthy and does not compare to any other holy scripture in the world because the Arabic version, the language it was revealed to the Prophet in, remains unchanged. The very first versions of the Quran say exactly the same thing as a Quran printed today. However, the mediums on which the Quran is written differ. While the scribes of the Prophet's time used mediums ranging from date palm leaves all the way to fine silk sheets, people from all financial backgrounds were represented and all were encouraged to act as scribes to the Prophet. And lastly, another miracle of the Quran is that the chapters were not sent down all neatly packaged in a book, but were often revealed piece by piece, or rather, verse by verse. Yet the Quran fits together neatly, meaning that although it is not a chronological book, the verses fit in together so well that the end of one verse ties in with the beginning of the next. But the Quran did not always come neatly bound in a book as we know it now. As a matter of fact, it took 20 years after the complete revelation of the Quran for it to be bound into the book that we know today. Although it took some time before the book was bound, it was preserved unchanged during that time because it was also being memorized and recited by other companions of the Prophet. In fact, it was the Prophet who advised his companions to memorize and frequently recite the Quran. Throughout these years, this tradition has survived, and today, no Islamic gathering starts before the recital of the Quran. National and international recitation and memorization competitions are held annually, and millions of people are in awe with the beauty of the Quran, not only for its factualness, but also for its prose and harmony. Take a peek at the Quran yourself. Even today, there are many things that we can still learn from the Quran.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.com.
Welcome back, dear listeners. In continuation to what we were talking about, of course, which was, does the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, repeat any kind of invocation? And if he does, what kind of an invocation does he repeat? From where does he source his invocations? And of course, how is this all related to Ubudiyyah? In the previous segment, of course, we talked a little bit about how the Messenger of Allah was the most perfect created being of the Almighty Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon the Messenger of Allah. And of course, we said that first and foremost, we found him to be repeating, which teaches us that repetition is something that is necessary. Of course, repetition with understanding, not just mere repetition, that is not of as much value. And of course, we said that instead of making up something on our own, the best thing to be repeating is the Holy Quran, verses from the Quran, phrases from the Holy Quran, and so forth. Of course, and then we go on to the du'as and the supplications that have been related to us by the divinely appointed imams and the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon them all. Now, the verse in question, it is Abu Dharr Ghafari, one of the most loyal companions, faithful companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. We find that he quotes the Messenger of Allah, and he says that one night I found that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was repeating a verse from the Holy Quran, which was as forth: Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, if you should torment them, then they are indeed your servants. And if you should forgive them, then you are indeed the Mighty, the Wise. So Abu Dharr Ghafari here, he says that the Messenger of Allah was constantly repeating this verse of the Holy Quran in this one specific night. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was repeating this every single night, and this was the only verse that he repeated. No, on this one occasion, we find that he was repeating this specific verse of the Holy Quran on this night. Again, the verse of the Quran being, if you should torment them, meaning if Allah should torment them, the people, then they are, the people, indeed your servants, Allah's servants. And if you, Allah, should forgive them, then you are indeed the Mighty, the Wise. This verse of the Holy Quran, right, the more we repeat it, the more we will begin to understand the various intricacies that are in this verse of the Holy Quran. Me being a humble student, I do not have the audacity to go into the depths of the meanings and the inner profundities of this verse of the Holy Quran. But on a very superficial level, we find here that it is the Almighty Allah who is in control. Whether Allah wants to punish someone, whether Allah wants to forgive someone, whether Allah wants to send someone to hell or send someone to heaven, He is the Mighty and the Wise. Now, we need to keep one thing in mind, and that is that Allah does not forcibly send anyone to hell, and Allah does not forcibly send anyone to heaven. When it comes to hell, it is we ourselves who create our hell. It is we who do bad things. It is we who lie and cheat and gamble and, God forbid, do other things that are haram. It is not Allah that has forced us, it was our own choice. And so it was our own choice that we end up going to hell. Now, on the other hand, Allah is forgiving, and He is the Mighty, and He is the Wise, right? We are all needful and dependent upon Allah's forgiveness. But who does Allah forgive? Who does Allah not forgive? Why does Allah forgive those that He does forgive? And why does Allah not forgive those that He does not forgive? It says, indeed, Allah is the Mighty and the Wise. Certain questions we are not able to answer. And so, dear friends, we end at this point. Again, the verse of the Quran that was repeated by the Messenger of Allah, teaching us that, yes, the Messenger of Allah did do a repetition when it came to the verses of the Quran in order for these verses to be able to penetrate into the depths of the heart and soul of humanity in order to, of course, strengthen and level up and power up and increase our servitude, our obedience, our worship, our ubudiyah to Allah.
يا فؤادي
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all. لا إله سواه لا تخالطه الظنون ولا العيون تراه الله جل في علاه هو أنسي وملاذي أحتمي بحماه